Every team knows that the two-point play can be a winning move. That's why State Farm agent Tony Hoagland and his team are here to help you go for two by combining your home and auto insurance. It's a great call that saves you time and money. So go for the win and score savings by combining your home and auto. It's just another way we're here to help life go right. Call State Farm agent Tony Hoagland at 763-421-4900 or online at champlininsurance.com.
Are there upsets anymore in the playoffs?
Never
Once
heard
in
of
a
them.
While, yeah.
like, the thing is, like, okay, like, say Arizona gets in. I think if Arizona was to beat Colorado, I think that would be an upset, right?
The hockey world would be on fire if Arizona beat Colorado.
It's NHL trade deadline day, and who better to help us take a look at movement or lack thereof than NHL Network's insider, Elliot Friedman. We'll talk moves, non-moves, and the overall look of the Wild. Plus, what's the best pregame bar on West 7th? We'll talk about that, too. Stay tuned to find out. All of that and more presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Better Edge and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChampionInsurance.com. This is episode 68.
Gear up with the hottest merch in the state, courtesy of SodaStick.com. Snag a throwback Tony Oliva hitting school tee to celebrate baseball season, or keep the hockey vibes year-round with a plethora of on-ice merch. Be sure you're staying tuned to our social channels for a chance at a $50 SodaStick gift card giveaway. Bar Down Beauties at checkout will always get you that free shipping. Happy shopping. Hello, everybody. We're back. Episode 68. We're so close to a very nice episode, but we've got a lot of good stuff happening in episode 68.
Let's get ahead of ourselves, Jesse. Come on.
I know. I'm immature, you know, whatever. It's fine. As you'll see, we have officially fired producer Fred. He's not with us on our YouTube channel.
R.I.P. producer Fred.
R.I.P. JK. Fred is on vacation with the family. He's enjoying his time away from us. Probably very much so.
If he's not here next week either, he probably enjoyed it too much.
Exactly. That means Alexis and I have free reign. What's up, baby?
Trying to get another vacation.
No, I mean, mostly we just kind of want to talk about the Minnesota Wild, right? First, I will say, unfortunately, we will not see an all Minnesota Frozen Four, or excuse me, championship. Mankato and UMD bow out. St. Cloud moves on to face UMass in the championship. We're recording this on Friday as usual, so we won't have the championship update, but you know, Alexis, were you bummed about either of those? I know you're a St. Cloud Husky, so go Huskies.
I wasn't bummed about the St. Cloud game. Was very exciting. I will say that, like, whether you were rooting for Mankato or rooting for the Huskies, like, that was a really, really fun game to watch. And I honestly, throughout that entire game, I was like, I can see either team winning this game. Like, one of my best friends went to Mankato, and she's a big hockey fan, so she's texting me. She's like, I do not like how good St. Cloud looks right now. I'm like, hey, hold on, like, this game is anybody's game. And what an exciting finish to that one. So I was happy to see the Huskies advance. Happy to see all of my friends from college kind of talking about it on social media and texting me, and disappointing the Bulldogs couldn't pull it off. I would have loved a Minnesota final. They just couldn't get it done, but that means we can all direct our energy to the Huskies. And like, the game will be over by the time it comes out, but fingers crossed that we could get some luck going for the Huskies on Saturday.
And still a lot of fun to have three schools in there, you know, unfortunately.
Five at the start and three to the final. That's pretty
exactly.
Exciting.
Toot our own horns. We love to do that once in a while. So pretty good stuff. But like I mentioned, I want to talk Minnesota Wild. We will have Elliot Friedman joining us to talk about the trade deadline, which is today, the day that you're listening to it, and what he thinks the Minnesota Wild may or may not do. But let's talk about the team as it sits, because we're recording this on a Friday before the St. Louis series starts. Do you want to talk about the 8 goals the Minnesota Wild scored against the Avs?
I want to talk about that every episode for the rest of eternity. That game was so much fun to watch. And it was just one of those fun hockey games. Like, as they always say, life's too short to bet the under. Give me all the goals. Like, I love a good high-scoring game. It's just, it can be stressful if you're a fan of the two teams playing. But they're just so much fun to watch. And I kind of said this in my breakdown for that series against the Avs. But what impressed me the most wasn't necessarily just that win in that second game, but how much of a competition they made that first one when it really looked like they were just about to be out for the count in that second period. They battled back against a really, really good team and quite frankly just ran out of time. If we would have had maybe a few more minutes, I'm interested to see if the Wild could have maybe tied that game up.
I'm on deadline and I didn't want to have to rewrite my story, Jesse. So I'm happy that it ended the way it did.
But I was impressed that the Wild made that first one a game when it looked like it could have gotten out of hand much more than it did. And in the second game, the fact that they used that energy of the first game to help them get a win. And the end of that first game got really chippy. And it makes you wonder, like, is the second game just going to be like just like a shit show? Is it just going to be everyone fighting each other all the time? Is it going to be, is any skill going to be on show in this game? Or is it just going to be, you know, a real physical game? And so I loved that the Wild kept that physicality and used that energy, but also transformed that into just an overall good game, which is what you want to do with physical energy and with animosity among two teams. So I love that they got the win, and Colorado tried to do exactly to the Wild what they did that first game. Yes. And the Wild shut it down and did not allow it to happen a second night, which I know is not easy to do because you start to get in your own head thinking, oh God, this is going to happen again. We're right.
Like it was almost a complete replication. Literally. Like, oh my God, seriously, we're really doing this again? Like that's absolutely insane. No, you mentioned the physicality. Good news on the Marcus Foligno fan front club, Marcus Foligno skating. He is on the trip with the team in St. Louis. I mean, I know we've touched on it and it's of course not even speaking from bias because we love Marcus, right? But I think he truly has been missed. I think even just having him be able to be around the team and have that energy that he brings. I mean, I think he really, if the team continues to play the way that they did in that second game against Colorado, and then you toss Marcus Foligno back in the lineup, I think that they're the only ones that can hold themselves back. I mean, I think that's truly that missing piece that the Wild need to make a really strong push toward the end here.
Yeah, I have had that thought so many times over the course of the last couple of weeks of, wow, this team is so different without Marcus Foligno. And not that they're incapable of winning without him, but he brings such a different vibe to a game that is so necessary. Every team will want to have a guy like Marcus Foligno on their team. Somebody who can defend his teammates, bring the energy, bring the support. I mean, he's the kind of guy who's talking on the bench. He's talking on the ice. He's talking going down the hallway into the locker room. So he is the kind of guy who, in those games where it gets a little bit chippy, it gets a little bit tough, he's saying, hey, let's keep our heads on straight. Let's make a point here, but let's also win. He's that kind of guy. And there's been some games where you really, really noticed his absence. And that is a good quality to have in a player, that they miss you when you're not on the ice. And it's been tough without him, especially in those chippy games where you know he would make a big difference in those games and maybe put a stop to that chippiness a lot faster than some of the other Wild players are able to do. And so it's, and he's grown into a bit more of a scorer this season.
I was going to say, and he can shoot, right? I mean, it's certainly he's bringing more to his game than I think, not that we never thought it was possible, but you didn't see that. You expected him just to be a brute, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's definitely taken his game to that next level. I mean, there's a reason Bill Guerin re-signed him and extended his contract for so long, right? Because you want a guy like that. Again, everything that he brings. So very, very exciting to see that his return could be in the near future. There's only 18 games left, Alexis. 18 games left, which is crazy to think. I mean, it seems like a long season, but a short season, right?
We'd be in playoff hockey right now if it were not for COVID. This would be the week playoff hockey would be starting. Like, that hit me the other day, and I'm like, oh my God, we'd be watching playoff hockey right now if it wasn't for COVID. So, like, that's just crazy to me that we're approaching mid-April and still in regular season hockey. But it is hard to believe that the season, like, I feel like we were just doing our episode ahead of, like, the first game, and we're all fired up that hockey was back, and, like, now here we are in April. It's wild.
I mean, it's because it's wild. See what you did there? Pun. Clever. Pulled a Jesse.
Would have rolled his eyes if he was on the court right now.
And we'll dive into this with Elliot a little bit more, but Alexis, what pieces do you think are missing from this Minnesota Wild team, whether they want to acquire somebody at the deadline today or whether they are, you know, going to make some moves before the draft? I mean, are there pieces that are missing, or do you really like the way the team looks as it is right now? I mean, I think there's always room for improvement,
right?
But what would your first goal as GM, Alexis, be?
I'm very comfortable with this Minnesota Wild team right now. And I've been saying this for a while, and I still stand by it, that I think this team has earned its right to prove themselves the remainder of the season and through the playoffs. They have worked hard to exceed expectations and to consistently exceed those expectations, that I think it would be a disservice to them to take some of those pieces away and introduce new ones at this point in the season. I think if the Wild would have been a team that
people expected, a bubble team or maybe just outside of the playoffs. I think then I would say, okay, let's maybe make some moves here because they aren't better than what we thought they were going to be. And so let's just do something. Let's try to be a better team. But they've earned that right, I think, with the players that they have to keep moving forward. And there's no really big glaring injuries. I mean, they've had little injuries here and there and some COVID, lingering COVID stuff that have kept players off the roster for bits of time, but they're all either almost 100% healthy team right now. They're playing really well, and I think they've earned that right to have this team stay in place. Now, if there's something little that you could do that's not going to cost you much or not going to detract from what this overall roster is in its essence right now, I don't see why not. If you think that it's going to benefit the Wild, but the pieces that they really need is a top line center, and they're going to have to give up a lot for that. And I'm not at this point in the season, I don't think that's a smart move to make. So I say you just sit still, you be quiet, and you see what this team can give you throughout the remainder of this season.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree. I think Bill probably agrees. I know he was on with Darren Dreger and had mentioned, I'm not selling the farm. Yeah. I'm going to keep it as is. I mean, I think Bill has always been very good at watching and being patient and seeing what the team can give him. And they've continued to get better. I mean, there's been those slumps, which everybody has, right? And you're right, center is still the glaring hole. I mean, you look at faceoffs against Colorado in that first game and it was god awful. And even before that, it was just, you know, faceoffs are
when your fourth line center is your best centerman, you are having issues up the middle. I love that Luke Johnson is making a statement, but he should not be your leading faceoff winner. So.
Exactly. No, I mean, so obviously that needs to be addressed, but you also got to remember Marco Rossi is hopeful to return the start of next season, hopefully to be ready for training camp. It sounds like Darren Dreger, I know I just mentioned him. He said that Rossi has been doing some light skating, light workout in Austria. He's been having some issues post COVID and is working to get his way back, but all signs are pointing toward him. So, I mean, that could be a huge relief. I mean, maybe Marco Rossi is the centerman that he's hoped to be, just like Kaprizov has been the player that we've hoped him to be. You've got Matt Boldy. I know Bill Guerin did say that he will be coming in as a wing, but he has the ability to play center. So if he needs to slot him over, similar to Ryan Hartman, who has slid and found almost arguably a better role as a centerman than he did as a wing, I think he's been doing really, really great in that aspect. So, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. There's no reason to run out and sell off all these pieces when you have everything that is looking good. Obviously, you want to change things up if you need to, because again, I think you're still in some of these losses that you're seeing the Minnesota Wild take, you're still notably seeing that you're a couple players away from being true contenders. But I don't expect him to be too busy today.
Yeah, and I think that some of the pieces that were talked about kind of at the beginning of the season of like, okay, here's some changes that we need to make, or we need these players to grow into their game or else. Those players have stepped up to the challenge. Greenway has done what's asked of him. Eriksson Ek has done what's asked of him. The goaltenders are on a good tandem right now. They're playing well. So a lot of those pieces that you were like, hey, we might need to do something with this position. I think those players are proving that, okay, no, I can do this. You don't need to move me. You don't need to bring someone else in. I can do this. And so that's part of the reason that I just feel like, hey, the Wild don't need to change much, and they deserve to let this team ride it out and see what they're made of. And then depending on what happens at the end of the regular season and come postseason, then you reassess and say, okay, if we made it past the first round but couldn't win in the second, or we made it to the final but couldn't win the Stanley Cup, what was the reason why not? What were the pieces that were missing? And then I think you reassess. And so I always like to say when it comes to trades, never say never. But at the same time, I do think that there's no need to rush into anything, to force anything. And, you know, Bill Guerin always says he's always taking calls. He's always listening. He's always doing this and doing that. And I think that's the truth. But I don't think he needs to force into anything at this point in time, because the Wild have earned their right as their current roster to see what they're able to do.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Alexis. I mean, I'd be shocked to see if anything happens. Again, if it's the right move and Bill feels comfortable with it, go for it. But let's dive more into that with our guest, Elliot Friedman. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Want to rep some Bardown Beauties merch? We've got you covered, literally. Whether you want to show that you're an official Butte or that you do not, in fact, support Chirping Duluth, we've got it all. So make sure you check out Bardown Beauties on Teespring.
Joining us now, the man who knows more than Michael Russo and full proof that a beer can completely alter your appearance, NHL Network insider and Sportsnet reporter, Mr. Elliot Friedman. Elliot, how are you?
I'm good, Jesse. Alexis, how are you guys?
We're good.
We're like you. We're waiting around. What's going to happen? Is anything going to happen during this NHL trade deadline? I mean, let's just start there with this episode obviously being released on Monday, trade deadline day. Do you think it's going to be a quieter deadline day, especially just with the weird season and the different needs that teams have?
Well, one thing I think is going to happen is that I'm going to get an angry text from Mike Russo because he said I know more than he does. So I can guarantee that in the state of Minnesota, that's not going to make me very popular.
Hey, I stand by that. Sometimes we got to jab Russo once in a while.
But Mike, the truth hurts, so you just got to suck it up. Every year I go in and I say, I always expect one thing that kind of stuns me. And I like to think that way because I think that there's a lot of talk. There's always a lot of will to do things. This year it's different in that there's not a lot of money. Yeah. But I still always think there's a willingness to do things. So I expect something's going to come out that we don't see coming, that we're going to sit there and we're going to say, wow. But I do think it's going to be harder to make trades than maybe it ever has because I don't think the cap is going to be going up for a few years.
Right. I was going to say, that's obviously the biggest factor. You look at the Minnesota Wild, for instance, and that's a huge mitigating situation that they have to try to figure out. I mean, if you could take one crazy hot take that you're thinking that, oh my gosh, this could happen, what would it be? What's kind of the craziest out there thing that would surprise you, but maybe not when you really sit down and think about it?
That's a good question. I always worry about these kinds of questions, Jesse, because I worry about like radioing myself.
So right.
Please understand that this is just me talking like out of my butt. Like just basically talking this is just me basically talking, making stuff up.
Keeping it interesting. We're just right?
Like a name would be Ryan Getzlaff. Like that would be a name. And I'm not expecting Ryan Getzlaff to be traded, but I do think there are teams that have asked Anaheim about him, and you never know if there was ever anything that would get him to say, I consider this. I think that would be the kind of thing that would come out of nowhere. I think Jack Eichel would be another one because I think the Sabres are at least taking calls on him. I don't know what Eichel's health is. I don't know if he's going to play again this year. I would think if that happens, that one's going to be more around the deadline or it's not the deadline, but the draft or the free agency or something like that. Sure. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think those would be the kind of guys that, you know, Johnny Goodrow would be another guy that I think that I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think if it happens, it happens draft or off season. But that's the kind of thing that is not impossible. And I would look at my phone if I got a note like that and I would say, you know, holy smokes, that's a surprise.
What about a Taylor Hall? I know his name's been tossed out there. He chose to go to Buffalo and things obviously not shaking out. I mean, is he a guy that you could see actually being on the move? I know he said he's open to it as well.
I don't think that one's going to be, Jesse, if that one happens, I don't think that one's as big a surprise. I think we're all kind of expecting Taylor Hall to go somewhere. I think it's been a bit of a grind, a bit of a tougher challenge for Buffalo than they hoped. But I think he gets traded, yes.
That's a nice way to put it for Buffalo, right? That was very kind of you.
Well, I'm a nice guy.
Speaking of Buffalo, you also mentioned Jack Eichel, which is a name that's been floated around with the Minnesota Wild and its fan base talking about centers and would he be a good fit? So speaking of the Minnesota Wild specifically, not even necessarily just Jack Eichel, but do you think the Wild will make moves? I think they've exceeded expectations a bit, but obviously some pieces still missing. Is Bill Guerin going to do anything?
You know, as a matter of fact, Alexis, my podcasting partner, Jeff Merrick, he actually said that he wouldn't be surprised, like, if Minnesota was a stealth team on Taylor Hall. Mm, now, I don't think that's easy. There would have to be a lot of work that would be done, but I like the idea. Like, Alexis, I'm a big believer in that the players dictate what the GM does. And I think the players in Minnesota this year have dictated that they are worth helping. Mm-hmm. We know that Bill Guerin's not afraid. He's got, he's got big guts. He's not afraid to do things. I do think that he will look around, but I also think that Guerin's, you've already got an expansion draft issue with Dumba. Mm-hmm. You got to sign Eriksson Ek, and you got to sign this pretty good player who's wearing number 97, who set the franchise in the league on its ear this year. So I think that everything that Guerin does is with an eye to what are the dominoes. But depending on the cost, I could see him doing something because, A, I think the players have shown they earned it. And, B, I think Guerin is the kind of guy who thinks that if I think we're going to go for it, we're going to go for it.
So right. What about a guy like Matt Dumbo, where, you know, the big debate with him is, do you try to move him and get something big for him because you know he's worth a lot, or do you hold off and try not to lose him in that expansion draft? That has been talked about for so long now. Mm-hmm. What would you do with Matt Dumbo if you're Bill Guerin?
If I was in his shoes right now, I'd try to win. Like, if the team wasn't very good, I'd be looking to move him. But, like, again, I think players speak. I really do. And, you know, like, just in all the years I've been around, I've tried to understand the different mentality between different people. And, you know, you can't lie to the players. They know when they're good. They may not admit it, but they know when they're good and they know when they're not good, right? And I just see a team there that has exceeded expectations, that is entertaining, that is, you know, I know, I mean, Colorado gives you guys all sorts of problems, even though you wipe them out. The
forever.
Yeah. Hey, we'll hang our hat on that most recent win. That's how we concluded the series with them, right?
But I'd want the 7-game shot with them or Vegas if I was the Wild. So, like, I just think that, yeah, the expansion draft matters, but and Guerin's been there as a player. He knows what every move is going to do. And if you take Dumba, like, if you're trading Dumba now, I am a believer that it's better to be something that makes me as a player and a fan think, oh, okay, I get it.
You're still in to win it, right? Like that mentality.
Like, I've had guys tell me before, if I trade this guy, you're going to look at the trade and you're going to understand it. Mm-hmm. That's the way I view the Dumba thing right now. Like, if he's getting traded now, I'm going to look at it and I'm going to understand it. Because I just don't see Bill Guerin and the Wild taking a step backward while their team has been as good as it's been this year. Doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. I think that's kind of surprised all of us here, right? I mean, this team has exceeded those expectations. You thought they'd be maybe a bubble squad going in, and you've seen guys really rise to the occasion. Joel Eriksson-Ek, we had mentioned, you know, and Bill Guerin being a large part of that, making a move to Greg Pattern for Ian Cole, I think, has helped this team. And he certainly has been very patient with this organization. I mean, how have you seen Bill really transform the Minnesota Wild into a team that, sure, they maybe are not quite there as contenders, but he's definitely making the right moves to get them closer and closer?
Well, you know, I think that good leaders, generally, they don't walk into a room and they don't say, like, he or she doesn't walk in and say, I'm the boss and I'm now going to start doing things. Like, I think there's always culture changes that you want to make. But I think the smartest thing to do is really go in there and not go in with preconceived notions, but see, okay, how does everybody work? Who do I look at and I've heard this about and it turns out to be totally wrong? Or who have I gone and heard this about and it turns out to be totally right? So last year we saw him kind of go through the year, see how it was, see them in the bubble, kind of flame out against Vancouver. And then you kind of saw what Bill Guerin thought, not much, right? So, you know, he spent a year, he kind of saw what he had, he made some changes, he moved his team around, but I think he's got, like I said, if you guys saw Guerin as a player, you guys have seen him now as a GM, he's not afraid. And he's got courage of his convictions, right? If you ask him a question, he'll give you an honest answer. If he decides something is the right course of action, he's going to do it. And so he made his changes, and now he's seen how that's kind of unfolded. So I just think that that's the way he is. I think he's bold. I think he came in the right way. He didn't come in like, I'm the new sheriff in town. Like, he came in like, and he saw what he had, and he made his choices. And, you know, I really like I like the job he's done. I really do. And, you know, Kaprizov, Guerin can't take credit for that one.
Right.
He was drafted beforehand, but you know, there's some players that come over from Russia and or anywhere really, and you hear the reputation and you don't know if you believe it. The guy's been better than advertised. I don't know if any of us expected that, but he's been better than advertised. He's
absolutely. No, yeah. I thought the same thing. I know going into training camp, I was a little apprehensive because like you said, you don't know. I mean, the highlight reels are one thing. KHL is one thing, but how that's going to translate. And I was like, holy crap, this kid has got it going on. And again, that's because Minnesota hasn't seen a dynamic player like that since maybe Marian Gabrick in his prime. And even then, it's a different type of player. I mean, Krill does a lot. So it's tremendous to see. You know, back on Bill Guerin, Elliot, you had talked about how he's not afraid to make moves. And we saw one move that didn't quite happen last year at the trade deadline with the New York Islanders and Zach Parise. Do you have any more insight yet or clarity as to maybe why that had fallen apart? And do you think that Bill maybe continued those conversations throughout this year to say, hey, if we can unload Zach, unload some of that salary, we'd be willing to do that?
I think what the problem there was, Jesse, is that it was an incredibly complicated trade. Like I have tried to get to the bottom of where everything was kind of going. And I just heard it was, and you can imagine with the salaries involved, let me just turn that off. That's someone who's not important.
I appreciate that.
you know, I think that one of the things that kind of happened was you look at the salaries involved with Parise and Ladd, like they're really complicated contracts. And I just heard it was a lot of work and it was very intricate and they really worked hard to suppress it. Yeah. One, cause you know, it was sensitive, and two, it was Lou Lamoriello. Right?
Yeah.
And like, a couple of days in advance, I don't think I was the only reporter who had some word on it, but you know, everybody was really sensitive because it was Lamoriello, and also because they didn't know if they'd be able to do it. And it fell apart because it was so complicated. I just don't know if either one of those teams, now with the pandemic, I think it makes it even harder. And number two, you know, I don't know if it violated the Lou rule of it got out, so I'm never doing it.
I mean, that was kind of my hunch, right? Yeah. Like Lou was like, nope, squash it. We're done. You let it leak. We're done with this.
I would just say this, that I know how much he thinks of Parise. And if there's ever a situation where Lamoriello might say, okay, I still might consider doing it, then, you know, maybe, you know, this year the Andy Green re-sign got out a long time before it happened. He still signed it. So there are exceptions to the rules.
Well, we've talked about here some of the stuff that Bill Guerin has done and what he's capable of doing. Let's take it a step further back in time to Paul Fenton and some of the trades that he made that have now turned into a big reason that this Minnesota Wild team is maybe exceeding expectations this year. So Elliot, do Wild fans owe Paul Fenton an apology?
You know, I don't know if they owe him an apology. I just think that, you know what, Alexis? I just think that sometimes things take time to figure out. You know, like, I really believe, like, one thing I hate doing, and I always tell our guys this, it's funny, I get asked to do, like, draft grades. Like, how this team do in the draft? They get an A?
Ask me in 5 years.
What did you give the Wild this year?
And I'm like, I don't see any of these guys play. I don't. Like, you know, I don't know if the seventh rounder is a steal. I mean, I could look, he's X on this board or X on that board, and they picked them here. Like, I'll say this, like, they're Arizona right now. Like, they, you know, John Chyka, everybody was clobbering them last year. If Arizona, like, that's the thing. If Arizona was doing really poorly this year, people would be saying, oh, they'd be ripping John Chyka. Now, does this mean that because they've exceeded expectations and they're in the race, surprisingly, that maybe he did a better job than people thought? Like, that's the kind of way I look at it. Now, you know, Paul Fenton, you know, he made mistakes. There's no question about that. But I always say that sometimes you don't know, especially if a guy's gone after, what, was it 1 year?
Yep.
Yeah.
You really don't know for another couple of years. Like, we won't know how good he was or wasn't. But you know what? I think one thing we did know is you got to treat people better.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that was probably the biggest hang up. Victor Rask, though, I'm like, wow, maybe there was something. who would have thunk, Mr. Fenton? You had mentioned, obviously, Bill Guerin can't take credit for the Kirill Kaprizov. That is all Chuck Fletcher's hands on that for that fifth round find. I mean, it's his Calder Cup to lose, right? I mean, it's his right? There's no way that anybody else can sneak in there.
Do you think, Jesse, for 1 second, I'm coming on a Minnesota podcast? No.
No, I mean, they will burn they will just burn the city.
They will
city.
Come burn. Yes. When the border is open, they will burn my house. No, like, if I'm voting right now, he's my guy. And I have a vote, and he's my guy. And I think it would take a lot. Like, one of the things I'm really careful about is recency bias, because I have suffered from that. Like, if there's some rookie who has a really hot last 20 games, I think sometimes those kind of candidates can steal it.
Yeah.
I think you have to reward beginning to end. And it would take a lot for – there's some other good rookies in this league. Mm-hmm. It would take an awful lot for someone to take Kaprizov off my ballot. I don't think he'll be on my heart ballot now, but he was at one point. Like, he was a guy I had on my big list of Hart Trophy candidates. So,
oh, for sure.
He's my Calder guy.
You love that. How about the goalies? You know, like, I feel like rookie goalies this year are very, very strong. Kaapo Kähkönen also maybe could kind of sneak in there, right, if he gets a little bit more playing time once again. But, I mean, is that kind of rare to see goalies perform so well in their rookie season as they've been doing this year?
I just think this year is so weird. Like, it's not – there's nothing normal about this season. So, if you would tell me a grapefruit could be the MVP of the NHL this year, I'd probably believe it.
Well, how much would you credit, talking about Kirill Kaprizov, Kaapo Kähkönen, is Kirill Kaprizov the reason the Wild have had more success than a lot of people expected? Or is it some of these moves finally paying off? Is it Dean Evason in his first full year as a head coach? Is it the goaltending tandem the Wild have finally having some success here? Can we say Kirill Kaprizov is the reason, or is it more a culmination of several things?
Well, I think the toughest thing in hockey, Alexis, is that even guys like Kaprizov, what do they play, like 22 minutes?
Yeah.
More than half the game is played without him out there. But I think the one thing that he has absolutely done is he has breathed new life into the franchise. Mm-hmm. Like, I see, you know, Jesse, behind your head there, you have the dollar dollar bill. Right? I think that's huge. I think hockey needs more of that. And I think that he has breathed new life into the Wild. I remember a story, you guys are younger than me, but when Tony Kukoc came over from Croatia to the Chicago Bulls in the mid-90s, like Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, they didn't like him because they kept on hearing, oh, who's this big guy from Croatia? Well, we're here and we've won championships, right?
I just watched that Last Dance episode last night, actually, which is hilarious. I was like rewatching it. I'm like, I know exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. So
I guarantee you that there were guys on the Wild who were sitting there saying, oh, we got to hear about this guy who's going to save us. And I guarantee you they were skeptical. And now they've seen that he's the real deal. And so that's number one. And number two, and I do think this is important, you can have jealousy there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't look like there's any jealousy there. Like, those guys seem to really like him, and he seems to really like them. And it has changed your groove. Like, I think a lot of people deserve credit. I think the coach deserves credit. I think the GM deserves credit because they're getting blamed if it goes bad. and the players deserve a lot of credit. Like, Eriksson Ek looks like the player everybody thought he was going to be. Greenway has really improved for a good chunk of this year. He looks like the player everybody thought he was going to be. You mentioned Kähkönen. I just think that it never happens because of one person, but there's no doubt in my mind that he has breathed new life into your franchise. And when you have a guy who's kind of like a mystery and everybody says, oh, we're going to be so much better, and he comes over and he actually is better – and you actually like the person, that does a lot.
Especially here in Minnesota, we're so used to being disappointed that when something actually works how we thought, we're like, wait a second, that doesn't happen too often. And I think, you know,
sounds like you guys are from Toronto.
Yeah,
basically.
If there's anything we could say about Kirill Kaprizov for a fact, it's that, you know, I think the Wild have been told so many times that they're a boring team to watch, right? They're always a grinding team, and they don't always have those explosive, fun players. And Kirill Kaprizov, if anything, has made them a fun team to watch because he's always doing something new every night, and Wild fans are not used to seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, you guys would know better than me because you're there, but it is a good point. Like, it is, you know, one of you brought up Gavrik earlier. Like, how many players have you guys had like that in your franchise?
Just these two that we've talked about.
Yeah, now Kaprizov. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a great point. We are in the entertainment business.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. You know, and I feel kind of even going to that, I mean, it seems like players have been forced to try to keep up with Kirill, right? So, I mean, it really has naturally brought players to elevate their own game. Matt Zuccarello finally kind of coming into his own. Victor Rask finally coming into his own. And I think a large part of that, in addition to, is Kirill's a young guy. The Minnesota Wild have been, for lack of a better word, old and boring. I mean, frankly, right? So, I mean, how much do you think this is really going to move forward on the youthfulness front? I mean, Matt Boldy signed with the Minnesota Wild. He'll start in Iowa, but I think there's no doubt we'll see him at some point in time, possibly this year. I mean, do you think that the Wild are starting to turn the page, and it's, again, not a complete, you know, restructure of the team, but it's definitely a shakeup to get that youthful injectiveness that needs to be done in the NHL to keep up with the game today?
Well, I think, Jesse, with the way the cap is going and the cap's going to be tight, you have to have players on entry-level contracts who make a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it, like we talked about it, you're going to have to sign Kaprizov to a new deal. I don't think that's going to be a small number. You're going to have to sign Eriksson Ek to a new deal. That price is going up almost every game. So you're going to need guys like Boldy to come in and be impactful on their ELCs. It's going to be impossible for teams to win now in this league without it.
I was just going to say, who do you think in the Honda West, just looking at that division specifically, if the Wild don't do anything, who else in that division might do something that might make them a competitive team? Think about a team like Arizona, who right now is in that last spot. Is there any teams in there who, if they make a few changes, are they really going to give those top three teams, the Wild, Avalanche, and Golden Knights, a run for their money at the end of the season here?
And to tack on that quick, yeah, too, are rental players less desirable this year, maybe, just with how shortened the season is? Or, I mean, or is it something that you still might see some rental guys make use of a team?
I still think the rental guys will be useful, but I think they'll be squeezed on the prices for them. I think that's going to be I think actually rentals in some cases, Jesse, could be more attractive simply because teams won't want to add money. It's really tough to move money for next season right now. I don't like the thing about Alexis, like Arizona, I don't know if they really want to add. I think they're probably going to stay still. I don't know if any of the teams below you in the standings are really going to add. You specifically asked me about the other teams, but I still think Colorado is going to add.
Okay.
I think they're going to add a D. I wonder if they're going to add a goalie. And I think they've also looked at the idea of getting like an edgy forward kind of who can play for them and score. So I do think Colorado is going to really try to improve itself to become even more of a handful.
That sounds terrifying, Elliot. I don't know why you would share that info with us.
I like
at least the Wild are done
days.
Playing them, though. Well, yeah, all of the Wild fans listening right now are just shed a tear thinking that the Avalanche could be an even better
team.
They're
crying in a corner, shaking, like, oh, God, no, please. You know, and we kind of touched on it a little bit, but to wrap things up, how much is the expansion draft affecting this NHL trade deadline, too? Because, like you said, you have to think further down the road, even to what are you going to do then? You know, it doesn't seem as much like, okay, an instant move right now during the deadline. We have to also consider the expansion draft and all these re-signings. Is that impacting this year's trade deadline and movement?
It is. I think teams are worried about that. Like, you know, and your fans in Minnesota, you've talked about your expansion draft and what happened with you in 2017 with the Golden Knights. You know, I think the tough thing about that is that I think there's a lot of teams who looked at it and said, we're not going to do that again. If we have to lose one player, we're going to lose one player. But I think the tight salary cap is going to really help Seattle a lot. I think some teams are going to be forced into thinking about things they don't want to do. I know in Ekholm's case, there were teams like Winnipeg and Philadelphia that weren't crazy about acquiring him because it was what you were going to have to pay and then what you were going to have to expose.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that, but like, again, I think a team in your case where, you know, you're already sitting there and going, we may have some questions here we've got to answer. The players have spoken. Your team is good. I just don't see your GM saying, we're going to make a change now for the expansion draft when our players have been good. Unless, again, you look at it and you say, okay, I can't argue with that.
Right. I think Bill has been very clear about that too, right? His phone's always open. He's taking the calls. And I believe he even said earlier last week that he's not going to sell the farm. He's digging with what's going on. So before we let you go, the hardest question, the most important question probably of the podcast, could the Minnesota Wild be a true Stanley Cup contender this year? Or how many years do you think until that maybe they find those right pieces to be true, realistic contenders? It's, you know, considering Colorado Avalanche are probably looking really good.
Well, you've got, like, I always say, why not?
Yeah.
Are there upsets anymore in the playoffs?
Never heard of
once
them.
In a while. Yeah.
like, the thing is, like, okay, like, say Arizona gets in. I think if Arizona was to beat Colorado, I think that would be an upset.
The
right?
hockey world would be on fire if Arizona beat Colorado.
Exactly. But like if Minnesota beats either Colorado or Vegas, whoever finishes second, is it an upset? Yeah, I guess it is. But it wouldn't, would it really surprise anyone?
Yeah, no.
You know, like I think your team has come a long way. I think it deserves respect. And I think that's the thing that I agree with Garen the most is that you don't go for the 1 year fix. You have a chance to be good here for some time. You've got good young players who are in the prime years or the younger years. Like if you guys won a couple rounds, went on a run, would I be shocked? No, you have good players. But I will say it's a tough ride, but I don't think you guys beating Vegas or Colorado is a monumental upset. I don't.
That's very kind. I just wanted to know the first round. I don't think that's happened in quite some time. So that's what we're looking forward to. Again, Elliot Friedman, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find your work? Where can they follow you?
Well, my Twitter handle is FriedHNIC. My Instagram is the same thing, although I don't use it as much. I have to start using that a bit more. And most of the links to my work at Sportsnet can be found on my Twitter.
Awesome. You're the best. Thanks again for joining us. Before we do let you go, how many imposter accounts are there out there for you right now?
There's a couple.
Just make sure you're following the correct guy.
Well, I have a blue check, so that makes it easier. But I got to tell you, like the people who do this, I don't like it, but they are creative. I grudgingly tip my hat.
But. Yeah, I love it. So be sure you're following him for all of your updates because I'll say it again, he knows more than Russo sometimes. So we love to hear it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just want to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it. We want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
We're back. Thanks again to Elliot for providing our inside information. There's always so much to keep up. I am going to miss not being at TRs and waiting on trade deadline, right? Like that's always so much fun. That was
grabbing
that was
great. Your stuff in a hurry and running out the door and thinking, oh God, here we go. And yeah, right down to the wire. That was a fun time last year, waiting on what was going to happen with the Zach Parise deal and having it ultimately fall through. But an exciting day, and unfortunate we won't have the same kind of energy this time around.
Exactly. It's a little bit of a bummer, but I'm curious. I'm excited to see what other teams do, whether it's the Minnesota Wild or not, if Jack Eichel does go somewhere, right?
But, I'm excited. Let him go somewhere so Wild fans will shut up about him.
So we can all stop talking about it, for God's sake. I would love to move on.
Get him on a team. Somebody pick him up.
Speaking of Tom Reed's on trade deadline day,
nice segue.
You like that? God, beautiful. I'm getting really good at these. Our up for debate this week, Alexis, you went with some of your favorite West 7th bars. Why don't you tell us a little bit about each one and what your go-to pregame West 7th bar is for Minnesota Wild?
Well, the three I picked were Patrick McGovern's, I picked Tom Reed's, and then I picked Truck Park, which are all great bars in general, whether it's for a pregame Wild game or not. But they're all fun places to be. All have a little bit of a different energy to them. And my go-to has got to be Tom Reed's. I mean, how can anybody pick against Tom Reed's? Like, no shade to any of those other bars and restaurants on West 7th, but like, it's literally a hockey bar. How can you go anywhere but a hockey bar for free game hockey? Like that one's great. I also do the one thing I do love about Truck Park is how they can open up the side of the building for the bar there. That's always a fun vibe is seeing people out there, whether it's game day or not, but it's
and the different like options that they have for food is kind of nice too. Like a good mix up and they have a Stanley Cup, like beer cup.
Yep.
Have you gotten that? Yeah.
I have not, but I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I've got two. It's good. Cause I go where the beer is and that's what my biggest thing is. So I agree though. Tom Reed's two for ones, baby.
Two for ones. Come on.
And yeah, I mean, it's just the right hockey vibe, hockey atmosphere. We love TRs. This is not sponsored by the way, if Tom wants
to sponsor us,
yeah, that'd be great. And Patrick McGovern's is a lot of fun too. I mean, you always find your way there, right? It's been nice to see those establishments get a little bit more in there as the fans start coming back to the X, but, let us know what your favorite is. I know somebody had said Joseph's, which hilariously, Mike and I used to live in those apartments that are right by Joseph's.
Yep.
So it was like us, and this was pre-kids. So we were really fun. And so we would stumble. We made friends with all the bartenders, great working staff there. And I know they have a free bus that takes you to the X too. So it's
a little
a,
bit
it's
of
a cool
an-
spot.
an underrated one is Eagle Street. That one's right on the corner across from the X,
yeah.
Which I've actually never been there, but I know a lot of people love going there before and after Wild Games. And then I know when I was a kid, a place we always went for a child's version of pregame was to get pizza at Cassetta's. Always the go-to move. If we weren't going to get food at the Wild Game, we'd come out early and get food at Cassetta's, which you can't go wrong with that. If you just want a more chill pregame vibe, but still get that West 7th energy, Cassetta's is a great go-to, and literally everything on the menu is delicious. And they have beer too, but it's just not like a true bar setting. But yeah, Cassetta's is great. My favorite spot for food pregame, and Tom Reed's is the best spot for drinks. So
I love that you took on the more family-friendly vibe without children, and me with kids are like, nope, give me all the drinks. Give me everything.
Well, by the time I was like old enough to pregame, I was like working for the Wild. So I was like at work instead of actually getting to go out. So my memories of pregames are being like 8 years old and going to Cassetta's for pizza before the Wild.
Yes,
game,
so. I know. And I'll give a shout out to the Liffey too, because actually it's kind of fun sometimes. Again, pre-COVID, post-game, all of us writers, because we're all together all the time late.
Why not?
Yeah. We usually go grab a drink at the Liffey pretty late at night sometimes if we're all feeling an itch to do so. But Liffey's also good, so you can't go wrong. Let us know what your favorite West 7th bar is, and we'll give them some love. Do a little shout-out or whatever. Again, open to sponsors, open to bars and restaurants.
Whoever wants to sponsor us first, you'll be our new favorite pregame spot.
Our new favorite pregame spot. We'll host something there.
We will sell out. We'll sell out. Just tell us who you want.
Let us know. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Again, big shout-out to our presenting sponsor, SodaStick. A big thank you to Better Edge. Don't forget, you can use code BUTES to win a free $10 on the Better Edge app, betting app, a very legal betting app. And then shout-out to Tony Hoglund Insurance as well, another brought to you sponsor, all courtesy of Talk North, who is hosting our very lovely podcast. So thank you to Elliot. Thank you to you, Alexis. Fred, thank you for
shout out to Fred for giving us vacation. The trusting us to do a whole show by ourselves.
We'll see. He's gonna be listening to this on Monday and be like, god damn it, you guys. Like,
last
whatever.
Time he leaves, he's not leaving us alone again.
Yeah, be sure you like, subscribe, rate, follow us on social media. We've always got some fun stuff up our sleeve, so be sure to check that out, and thank you. Have a wonderful week. Talk to you later.